Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another segment of Reigning with God. I am your host, Keith Russell Lee, and I am psyched. I'm Jazz and Juice. You have decided to join me as we're continuing the series, Everything You Need is Within You. And this is part six of this series, as we've been looking at the spiritual faculty, that inner dynamic of love. Let me just kind of share that this series is really about teaching us that everything that we need is within us. So often we look outside of ourselves for God. We look outside of ourselves for the things that we need in our lives, when in reality, everything that we need is within us. And spiritually, we have these inner spiritual dynamics, as I call them. Others may call them faculties that we have of faith, as I've dealt with the previous days, love, strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. We have everything that we need within ourselves. Have you ever wondered why maybe at times our prayers aren't answered, that we've been praying the same thing over and over and over again, when in reality it is that you already have what you need within yourself, that God has given you those things. So really, you're waiting on God, but yet God is waiting on you. How about that, right? So today I've been dealing with love. And, you know, the past few days, because, you know what, I mean, folks say, you know, that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, we already have love. It's what are we going to do with the love that we are, that is within us. And so that's what I'm talking about today. You have everything you need. Now, get your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I've been talking about these descriptions of love, this description of love. Now, love by definition is this. It's the unifying force of all of life. It is that which creates harmony, unity, and oneness. Think about that. If I say I love someone, what am I saying? I'm one with you. I am in unity. I'm in harmony. What happens when there's love in a household? We are one. We are in unity with each other. There's harmony in the household, right? And so that is what love by definition is. Now, how does that look? Because we can say, okay, it's this harmony and oneness and unity, but how does it look? And that's what we've been going over in 1 Corinthians 13. And again, let me just kind of preface this, and I want to encourage you to go back over your the previous podcast, and if this is the first installment that you're getting, go back over the other ones and check it out, because you know, it's amazing that we who say that we're so spiritual minded and we are Christ-like and all, but the reality is this, folks, if we are not love and manifesting the love of God, we are not being what God called us to be. You know, the reality is this, that we are known by the love we have for one another. That is what Jesus said. You know, so it's not that I go to my church, not that we jump and shout and we do all the festivities and all of these other things. It is love. Am I operating? Am I walking in love? That is the determination of your spirituality. That is the determination whether or not you are with God. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I have a new translation I'm going to be sharing out of the NIV, the New International Version. I've been in the King James. And I want to just kind of share, because this kind of gives us some more insight about the definition. I want to start at verse 4, and I've dealt with these before. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I was dealing with that yesterday about vaunting in itself. Look at verse 5. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now let's deal with this whole notion of honor. If I love someone, I honor someone. What does the honor someone means? I treat them with respect. Honor is respect. If I honor you, I respect you. If I love you, I honor and respect you. Wow. You know, honor is so important in our world because we live in such a place where people don't honor each other. We don't respect one another. But if I'm operating in love, I have to give respect. You know, honor says that I treat you with the best respect, honor. I place you upon a pedestal. I give you the, I don't want to use the same words, honor and respect. I give you the same dignity that you really deserve. You know, the Bible talks about the honoring of your mother and your father. You know, and what are you doing? You're honoring your mother and father. You are respecting them. You are sharing. You are holding them in the highest of dignity. You know, and so if I love someone, that is what I do. Think about how that would operate in terms of your family, in terms of your marriage, in your home. We're talking about love. Love is to honor. It is to respect. It does not dishonor others. Think about how we look at people in the community. Think about how we treat people of different political parties, Republicans and Democrats, right? It does not dishonor others. Look here, it is not self-seeking. I'm not looking at individuals as a means to an end. I'm not looking at individuals as who can I use to get to where I want to be. It is not self-seeking. When I'm loving, actually, I'm even putting your, I am actually honoring what's your best interest. I'm putting that right along with my best interest, you know? And I'm not going to do anything that's going to violate your best interest at all, as I'm not going to do anything that violates my best interest. Wow. See, this is love, to honor, to respect, to hold in dignity. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It is not easily angered. And this is one thing that over the years, I've grappled with. I'm telling you, be very honest with you, you know, that easily angered piece. But I realized something, that my children have very rarely ever, well, I don't think my children has ever seen, my children has never seen my anger ever directed toward them. They have never. And you know, that's with them doing the things they're supposed to do, things that they're not supposed to do. You know, I never call them out their names. I never have explosions as far as, why didn't you do this, and why this and that and the other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But why is it that we do those things with others in our lives? Think about it. If I love you, I'm not easily angered, because it goes back to that whole notion of patience. You know, I always deal with this in terms of relationship teachings that I do in regards to people say, oh, yeah, I love you, but yet, man, I mean, you are a tinderbox. I mean, you know, you know, one little touch, you know, you just blow up, you know, about nothing, you know, and maybe, you know, you might need some counsel. Maybe you might need some therapy or something. That's no shame in that game. But yet, if we are looking at love, the reality is that love is not easily angered. It's not. You know, you think about, you look at the situations that's going on in the world and, you know, oh, I can't stand this person or that person, that politician, this leader, whatever it may be, right? But why am I so angry? Why am I so angry? Well, I don't love them. Well, it's evident, but yet God has called us to love and for us to be love. And so it's important for us to look at, are we operating in love? Okay, let's go on to look at this next verse, right? It says, it keeps no record, it keeps no record of wrongs. Wow, can you believe that? It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not have the little database that goes back and can correlate and respond to what you did back in 1995, 2005, 2015, right? What you did 30 days ago that you don't even remember. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love says it's done, it's done. It's not I'm going to continue to go back and throw in your face the things that you have done in terms of life. It does not do that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow. Can you imagine that in your life? Now, it's interesting because when we are the recipient of love, yeah, that's what I like. Yeah, don't remember my past, right? Don't remember my mess ups, right? But it's not just when we're recipients of that, we must extend the same thing to others. We must give of ourselves also to others. It keeps no records of wrongs. Think about that. In the traditional context of Christianity, isn't that the whole idea of sins being washed away, right? That whatever our transgressions, whatever our past was, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so his love and the sacrificial death upon the cross, right? It wiped away, it washed away all of those things that we say in the traditional context of our understanding of Jesus, right? So that's love. That's the epitome and the demonstration of love. And so with that, that's where we stand. It keeps no record of wrongs. Let's continue to go further here. All right, and it says that love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You know, I've discovered something. You know, when you hear of misfortune in terms of people, do you rejoice? Do you hear that they lose a job? Do you hear that, you know, a community is going through a tough time and the crime and the violence and all these things? Oh, those people are just animals anyway. Wow. You know, or a person loses their job. Well, you know, I'm glad because they were jerks anyway. See, my response must always be in love. To rejoice in evil, to rejoice in somebody else's downfall, to rejoice and even put the energy in terms of, you know, well, yeah, I guess it's karma. You know, I mean, yeah, maybe things happen, but it's not for us to rejoice in those things and for us to take, like, wow, this is great. I'm going to have to stop here. And I guess part seven, I'm going to have to pick up tomorrow, or verse seven, I'm going to have to pick up tomorrow and finish out this verse six and then number eight. And I'll do that. But listen, folks, as always, as I close out, I need faith partners. I need faith partners. I need you to be a faith partner with me. Please go to krlm.org, which is my website. Go down to the bottom of the page and click on being a faith partner with Keith Russell Lee Ministries. I do believe that as you walk with me, as we walk together, we can change the world. These teachings and a whole bunch of others that I got coming are ways that we're going to be able to impact the world around us. And I need your support, folks. I ask individuals to give $58 minimum a month, or if you can do more, that'd be great to be able to help us. And we can be partners together to fulfill that great calling that God has called us to take the gospel into all of the world. Well, listen, until next time, I'm Keith Russell Lee saying live with faith and power and continue to create a phenomenal life. Bye now.